Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live from Arizona, and this is Professor Danita Applewhite, also known as Professor Apple, and I am here today and so happy to be able to connect with you, connecting with you through technology, and it's wonderful. There are times, though, that it gets a little frustrating, doesn't it? When you can't log in or when the computer shuts down and the frustration begins, take a deep breath, move away from that computer, shut it down, come back to it after you get a drink, preferably coffee or some iced tea or something, and then come back and try it again. So that's what I had to do this morning, and it worked, and the attitude stays in place. So what are we talking about today? We've done so many shows since the earlier part of 2008. That's how long we've been on the air. And we certainly appreciate all of our loyal listeners that log in and listen to the show either by computer, or they call in live, or they chat with us through our chat line, which is now open. So feel free to, you know, write in a chat, start a conversation with me, and we can, we'll share that with our listeners, the live listeners that are on and other listeners that are coming on from abroad. This is a global-based radio show, so therefore we respect all cultural differences, ethnic varieties, and language. And, you know, English language is our primary. And we expect that our listeners will have some background in English. But sometimes I do clarify things because of the level of listeners, the educational level of listeners, and also the language challenges that are sometimes there. So, but one thing for sure is that what I'm going to talk about today, what we're going to discuss, all of us today, is something that affects people no matter where you are, no matter what culture you're in, and that is absenteeism. No one likes to set up something, invite people, and no one shows until later. I mean really later. Even 5 minutes is late. So we expect that people will do their best to be on time. We have a caller online. We'd like to welcome you this morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Would you like to say your name?
Blessings, Professor Applewhite. This is Jewel Diamond Taylor.
Oh, my goodness. What a wonderful, beautiful surprise.
I'm finally in town at the same time you're having your show.
Oh, my
congratulations
goodness.
I'm
so happy to hear that, because that is a special thing. Listeners out there, this is Jewel Diamond Taylor. a wonderful, great, well-known motivational speaker based in California, but travels all over the place, and it's so hard to get her in, on the show, but she's always with us, and you've heard me announce her, some of the things that she's done. And, you know, I just last night put you on my, I believe it was Facebook or LinkedIn, one of those social networks, and I put you in, it says, who inspires you? And I put in Jesus Christ and Mother Teresa and Siddhartha, the first Buddha, and all these, those type of people. And then I put in Jewel Diamond Taylor.
My goodness. I am so honored because you are one of my great inspirations also.
Thank you.
You know,
thank
so
you.
Often we think in terms of, you know, politicians or heroes from the past, and many times our heroes and heroes are right in our circle of family and friends, our parents, mm-hmm. our sister friends, our bosses, our coworkers, just the ordinary people doing extraordinary things that are overcoming obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
They live with great courage. They live with great resiliency. They're innovators, and you know, that's how I see you, and I thank you so much for seeing the God in me.
Yes, and vice versa. Let me share this morning with our listeners out there, Jewel, and I want to come back to you and ask you some of your opinions about what our show theme is about today. And it's a very, very interesting theme, and I was saying earlier that it's a theme that globally we have to address. It's not mm-hmm. just the United States issue, but because we live in the United States and we are actually the busiest working society in the world. We put more energy into our work week than any other country. We do not have take advantage of vacation times and down times. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we have such a very high absenteeism rate. And that's just my own personal theory, no research on that. But our show today is around managing school and work with illness, disability, and death. Illness, disability, and death are the three things that seem to always be an ongoing theme about why I was late or why I didn't show up. You know, I was sick, or I couldn't do it because I have disability issues, or I had a death in the family, okay? And a death in the family, it's only so many times that your Uncle Tom or Uncle John can die, okay?
Right.
And, yeah, you know, and sometimes people will mess up and give the same name over and over again, and human resources or your boss will definitely catch that. But today I wanted to focus on, because this is part one of four, I wanted to focus on illness, and that most of us have dealt with being ill, maybe a temporary or even a permanent disability, and illness results, or loss of a loved one while trying to maintain a job and school schedules. And there's this, the feelings of hopelessness, frustration, and so much more. It can be so overwhelming. And
mm-hmm.
we feel that we can't make it because of our illness. It could just be the flu. Everybody is different. And where some people can go to work with the flu, some others have to roll up in the bed, pull the cover over their head, and forget it. But there are worse things that could happen to us. And I've seen people with the worst types of cancer, HIV, mm-hmm. AIDS, all kinds of illnesses, that get up, roll up their sleeves, and go to work, as long as it's not something that's contagious, you know, because we have to be socially responsible. So there are ways to get through these times and still succeed as a student and a good employee and have a good attendance record. So this episode is especially important for mature adult learners who faced obstacles in the past that caused job loss or college dropout. You know, we drop out of college a lot of times because of these same issues, the illness, disability, and death of a family member or death of a friend. So let's develop some strategies to avoid the pitfalls, and I'll ask if Jewel Diamond Taylor would like to
share some of her thoughts.
Well, I totally agree with everything that you said, and I find that in counseling with people that really loss of hope and loss of passion is
mm-hmm.
a great cause, but just dropping out of school, but dropping out of life, dropping out of life. And you lose hope and you lose a passion. When
mm-hmm.
you have hope and you have passion, nothing and no one can stop you.
Right.
I have dealt with friends and people that I've counseled, and they've had tremendous loss, but yet they graduated, but yet they got up and went to work, but yet they still got up and took their responsibilities because they had a glimmer of hope. They had so much passion about that goal that they
mm-hmm.
did not let life stop them. Now, it didn't mean they didn't hurt. Didn't mean that they had a slight detour, but they were not sidetracked and derailed easily because they had hope and they had passion. I listened to President Obama's speech the other day
about
the Jobs Act deal, and what he was saying is that when people cannot see a hope for a future, it's
mm-hmm.
some very, depressed and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But when
mm-hmm.
you know there's hope, you'll stay in the fight. And so I believe a lot of times people just drop out of life and drop out of school because they don't see the hope of a job. They don't see the hope of a tomorrow. They're not surrounded and connected with other people. And this is very, very key, I find, Professor Applewhite, is a lot of people are isolated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called Bowling Alone. And
Home Alone?
Bowling, B-O-W-L-I-N-G, like the sport. Bowling.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And it's a play on words, but the book
uh-huh.
is a message of how we as a society are doing everything by ourselves, and we're losing
mm-hmm.
very important human connection. When you are trying mm-hmm. to do everything by yourself, you will lose hope, you will lose your way, you will lose your passion, you will lose faith, you will lose self-esteem. So it's very important to overcome issues of shame. It's very important to let people in. A lot of
mm-hmm.
people don't allow people in their space because they have shame, they're overwhelmed,
yes.
they're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
They feel bad about their present circumstances and they don't have hope for future circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. When you're in school, when you're fighting the battles of life and the difficulties of life, that you stay connected to people, because the people will urge you and encourage you and keep you moving forward. But it's very easy
mm-hmm.
to stuck in your circumstances and stuck in a pity party when you're not connected to people who care about you.
You know, that's a very important issue that we're dealing with teachers. Teachers are ones who, that the particular group, and I'm not talking about all teachers, and I hope that our audience knows that when I say that, that there are the exceptions to the rule, of course. But as a whole, teachers are very, very isolated in their classrooms, and we're trying to move into more of an arena where we're involving teachers in more in-services and conferences so that they get a chance to meet each other, mandatory in-services that are dealing with absenteeism and how to deal with being in that classroom every day. There was a time when a substitute teacher was a rarity. Now substitute teachers are very, very commonplace. You know, you turn around once in a week sometimes, and you'll have a substitute in a class.
Yes.
Now,
we're not.
Go ahead. Yes, burned out. Burned
mm-hmm.
out, and students drop out, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to address today. We have another caller online. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. And you're joining me and Jewel Diamond Taylor this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, this is Maria.
Good morning, Maria. How are
morning,
you?
Good
this day. Is our loyal listener, Maria. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope there's something that you can learn from all of this, and please feel free jump in the conversation and ask any questions of Jewel Diamond Taylor, motivational speaker. She's joining us this morning, and we're so honored to have her. One moment, please. We have another caller online. This is Professor Applewhite.
Hi, Professor Applewhite. It's Colette Anderson from Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, Colette. This is a great topic for you to help out with us, help us out today. And we appreciate you. We're talking about managing school and work in spite of illness. And you're listening now to Jewel Diamond Taylor, and her website is don'tgiveup.net. Is that right, Jewel?
Actually, it's donotgiveup.net.
Do not. I'm sorry. Right. Do not give up. That's right.
With his website address.
Oh, I'm telling you. If you're not, you won't get it, and you want to get into her website.
Donotgiveup.net.
Donotgiveup.net. And we were just talking just now about the passion that has been at a loss for teachers, especially teachers, and I'm focusing on that group this morning, and students, because our show is student to teacher. And at one time in all of our lives, throughout the day, actually, we become students and teachers interchangeably. One minute, we're sharing information, which is what teachers do, and the next minute, we're receiving information, which is what students do. So that's what our show surrounds. So it doesn't mean that you have to have an academic degree to be a teacher, okay, or be in an actual classroom to be a student. It's a lifelong adventure. And so this loss of passion that Jewel was bringing out to us, and the fact that isolation makes people feel when they're ill and overwhelmed. And ill, and I think the overwhelming is a real big part of the illness concept, Jewel, that things
get
overwhelming and stressed.
I think a big piece of it is the shame, feeling insignificant, feeling irrelevant, feeling like there's nothing left for me to give, that no one sees me, you become invisible. And so there are voices of distraction and voices of depression, voices of the adversary in your spirit convincing you that it's over. And so when you're isolated, you're in a perfect cave position to not be able to fight against those voices and that mental and spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good point that you bring out, because I have a small group of students, but they are still there, and they have schizoaffective disorder or schizophrenia, and they are still managing college, and it is required, and I'm very, very enforceful about this, that they stay on their medication to control the voices, but they do hear the voices, and they're there. And it's interesting that you brought out voices, because you don't have to have a diagnosis of schizophrenia to recognize those voices. And like you said, that adversary, whoever, you know, whatever we call the devil or the adversary, whatever, is another voice within us.
Right.
And that voice.
It's a mental loop. Whether you're emotionally or mentally healthy or not, we've all got mental tapes, and they just like playing in this loop that just keeps going on and on. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm too old. I'm overweight. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm single. I don't have any money. I'm a failure. I'm the mess of the family. And, I'm a foster child. So that mental loop just continues to play. And you don't have to be mentally ill to have voices of self-sabotage in your head that it's very important.
That is wonderful.
I think on the surface we could say illness or tragedy can stop us, but I really think that's one of the surface symptoms. What's really going on is low self-esteem, shame issues, lack of community around us. We are wired to be a part of a community, a village, a tribe, a family, something. This is why young people, if they can't be part of a stable family, if they don't go to church, then they go to they drift towards gangs, or they drift towards, you know, street people, because we want to be a part of something. And so being a part of a community is very important to keep you healthy and moving forward with your life.
Absolutely. And school becomes a community.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, if teachers don't have it together and they're not able to manage the sense of overwhelming illness or isolation or their lack of passion, motivation, all of those things, how on earth can they convey that message to others that they teach? Mm-hmm. You know, you got to, mm-hmm. yeah, how can you tell somebody, come on, come on, come on? And you're sitting there yourself on the sidelines.
Well, the young man who's on the phone now will just call them from Cleveland. I did some work mm-hmm. in Cleveland School District to go and motivate teachers and principals, and it was very depressing because how can you inspire children when the schools are broken? They're mm. not, the maintenance is not there, the school, the products, the books, the resources are not there, the teachers are burned out and uninspired, and yet you want someone like me to come in and light a fire. And I was fighting fire with fire. So, but you do what you can. You hope that you can change and inspire one person at a time. But we all mm-hmm. are fighting against a lot of things that would easily take our light and take our joy. But we have to, as I said, stay connected. And that's what I created my organization called Women on the Grow, which is
Women on the Grow. Tell us a little bit about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was from in its earlier life. It was called the Enlightened Circle when I met you.
Yes,
but we transformed into calling ourselves Women on the Grow, and it sounds mm-hmm. like it's just for women, but there are men that do attend. But the majority are women who desire to get the life skills and the emotional intelligence and the strong, unwavering faith to deal with the challenges and obstacles of life. So we.
Mm-hmm.
Create venues such as retreats and seminars and conferences, and I do one-on-one coaching, which is another way of saying it's counseling, but people
mm-hmm.
have,
yes,
have less of a stigma and less of a resistance, if you say it's coaching.
Yes, it is.
Coaching
yes, it
them
is.
In the game of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that through my ministry of empowering and encouraging people to learn how to endure and excel in life, and that's the key. You have to know how to endure.
Right.
And America
you brought out,
is the only of a, yes,
You brought out emotional intelligence.
Yes.
And, you know, we always think of intelligence as academic. But there's that emotional intelligence that you mentioned a moment ago.
Right.
That's very, very important. That all of us, especially those of us that are responsible for helping others to grow and to learn, like your Women on the Grow organization,
mm-hmm.
that they have to understand this emotional intelligence concept. Would you expound a little bit more on that?
Emotional intelligence is the ability to cope with life circumstances
mm-hmm.
in a way that you're not destroying yourself or harming other people, that you make wise choices based on your emotions. And we have emotions such as revenge and hatred, jealousy, love, fear, courage, compassion. And every moment we're deciding which emotion will be dominant, and we're creatures of habit, so we tend to fall back into the same habit of how we deal with life. Some people, when they're met with obstacles mm-hmm. and tragedies, their emotional capacity
right.
says shut down or blame other people.
Okay.
Or feel like a failure. Well, some people's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody needs to shut their mute button off.
One of the things that I think is real important when we look at emotional intelligence and teachers, as well as students, is that if we don't have the ability to manage our emotions, and even to manage our passion.
Mm-hmm.
That we are not going to be able to manage any kind of school or work responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start from the basics. And one of the things that I'm very, very emphatic about when I'm talking to teachers who are my students, praise God, they have to understand that when we start talking about managing ourselves, we're talking about the very basics of time management. Time management is something that I feel has a lot to do with our absenteeism, our ability to say we're going to go to school, go to work, get in that classroom, and motivate others. And a lot
I hear where you're coming from, but I think if
mm-hmm.
you don't have the emotional capacity.
Yes.
Then you will not be able to manage your time. So if your emotions are if you're in a drought, you're in an emotional drought, and you have nothing left, you have no hope, you have no energy, low self-esteem, you're not going to manage your time well. So I think that's putting the horse before the cart. Have to look at the emotional capacity before we look at any other type of management. Managing your money, managing your time, managing your relationships. All of those are going to rise or fall based on your ability to manage your emotions when life.
Right, I have to agree.
Yeah,
I have to agree because when you talked earlier,
the healthier you are with your emotions, you will make wiser decisions. Turning off the television, you know, study time, not giving in to bullying or peer pressure, or not feeling like a failure because you didn't pass the class, or you're emotionally strong as a teacher, you are not easily burned out because you take time to take care of yourself when you get off from work, or you're not running from your own life issues by working so hard that you are running away from your own personal life. And this is what a lot of teachers do. They're extremists. They're either very, very passionate to the point that their personal life begins to unravel. Or
you have something.
Let's hear what you have to say, brother. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I agree with you. This one is called heart. If you get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired, then you're draining yourself. And if another person is like that, then they're on that roller coaster ride, and their emotions is over their intellect, which is like an animal, which is like
an
alcoholic or an addict. So what you want to recognize is to be assertive, not passive to the alcohol or the drugs or the gangs, not aggressive to over-medicating yourself or hanging around Jerry Springer type of people.
Yeah.
You have to kind of you kind of have to go in the area where you feel your comfort zone and their emotional comfort zone is stable. There's nothing wrong with being godly and helping the next person, but you got to recognize that you have to stay stable and helped and God up by doing the things that you need to do for yourself.
Right.
And
God,
you can't give away what you don't have. So, like you said, you don't want to be overexerting yourself with other individuals. And emotional intelligence is it's two ways you learn that, information and experience. So, you know, you can get the information, but you have to experience sometimes the pain and sometimes the not pain to get your balance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay today once you get it.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
very, very
good point. I totally agree.
I like that God up issue. I love the God up. And I also want to bring out with all of that is that earlier Jewel had mentioned hope. So once you get to that emotional intelligence, which is, I believe, and I haven't seen this with a lot of research out there, but I know it to be true that when we talk about basic needs of food, clothing, shelter, and all of those things, that emotional intelligence needs to be right in that basic needs category because we can't move forward without it.
And I believe hope also. You can only live so long without water. You can only live so long without food. You can only live so long without hope. If you don't have, that's why the Bible says you only need a mustard seed of faith or hope. That's very, very tiny. But when life is beating you so badly or your emotional intelligence, you just really don't have any intelligence. You just have a knee-jerk reaction to everything. You will lose sight of hope. You will feel there is no hope. So, you know, you have a high rate of suicide, a high rate of addiction, a high rate of business, a high rate of debt, a high rate of just, you know, because people are just going crazy because they cannot manage their emotions. You can sit right next to a person who lost their mother, and one moves forward and one gets stuck. I was stuck when my mother passed because I did not have the emotional intelligence I have now. So I was stuck for years.
Yes.
I did not know how to move forward. I cannot redeem those years. I can't get them back. But it taught me a great lesson that, you know, we will experience loss. We will get
get on the blind side. We can't control everything. And when you come out of a fantasy world, when you begin to deal with the realities of life, the ups and the downs, my favorite theologians of all time are Frankie Beverly and Mays. Frankie Beverly Mays will tell you that life is joy and pain, sunshine.
Yes.
And so when you can accept
after
that.
After the mornings after.
That's it. Okay, now that's another show.
Exactly.
That's a whole other show. I know that song. when I came out of La La Land and I realized that people die and, children grow up and illness happens and car accidents happen, when you become grounded in reality, your emotional intelligence will cause you to be more resilient, less bitter, and still have hope because, little gospel will tell you, joy comes in the morning. But if you don't believe that, you will feel like it's the end of the world.
And it's a journey as well. It's not a one-thing trick. I think I said that before. Sometimes you get to experience some of the things to get to where you're going in life. It's a hard wake-up call, but it's a reality. Some things you just have to experience. That don't mean you look forward or go out your way to experience, but you just have to. It's a strength to know your weak areas.
It is.
Yeah.
And, one of our people that just joined us on chat, as a matter of fact, just wrote in, it's about sometimes looking inwards. And we thank you very much for that. The name is Cool Veg. And thank you very much for saying that sometimes we do need to look inwards to even know, what did you say, Kulit, to know who we are, to know what direction we're going in, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, doctor. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a light that it gets dim and bright, it blinks, but it's okay, You got to stay on a solution or in that area of a solution because the devil's going to come on a daily basis. So you just have to go towards a solution.
And when we talk about, work is most important out of everything. When we talk about school and work, and I know some people might say, wait a minute, school is important. Well, we go to school basically to go to work.
Exactly.
Okay? And that's why we have school to work programs. So school is what we do as a precedent. We do that as a preparation. Because work is very important, and that is why this issue of illness and disability and death in the family and always having an excuse about why I can't go to work and why I have to leave work early, that's a part of absenteeism, coming in late and leaving early, okay? Human resource people are very concerned about that, and what is it that makes a person lose sight of that concept? It goes back into what Jewel was bringing out earlier, or what all of our listeners are bringing out, is that we have to have that basic concept of emotional intelligence. And if we don't have that, we don't understand how to even think about direction that we're in. We're going nowhere. We don't know east, north, west, south. And that comes from somebody teaching us that also. Then we don't know where to go. We're just standing there, hopeless. Right, Jewel? Hopeless.
Absolutely. And I think the piece I bring to the table in this universe is helping people to find out what is your true passion. If you're just going to school just to be going to school out of obligation because everybody said you should go, you're going to drop out first roadblock that comes up. But if you are taught, in this society, we don't applaud failure. We don't applaud people that are adventurous and try. I tried many things before I found my true career path. And that's not something that people applaud. They want you to be successful from the gate or start at the top and ride. No. We have to make mistakes and make wrong choices, and sometimes we waste time, and sometimes we have to start all over again, but we should not be perceived as a failure, because once you're perceived as a failure, this is when the shame comes. And when the shame comes, you're not willing to try and reach for something again. When people make mistakes in relationships and relationships don't work out, They either go to the point, I don't want to try again, or they just try anybody because their emotional
right.
intelligence is off.
Right.
So
right.
we have to find out what do I really love doing? Because when you
mm-hmm.
engage in the thing that you really love doing, nothing and no one can stop
you. And that leads into recommending a great book, Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. I don't know if you've ever had a chance
to
read that
book. That's the number one book I recommend, Marcia Senator.
Yes, Marcia Senator.
Senator.
Right.
Yep.
One of the, yeah, it's a great book. And it talks about just what you said, that you're going to make these detours in your career path. You know, now, some of us very, very clear in our minds about what we want to do. I know when I was one of those unusual people that at 11 years old, I knew I wanted to study the brain. I didn't know that it was called educational psychology, of course, but I knew that I wanted to study something about how people learn and are motivated to learn. And so my career path, even though it's detoured in different directions, not being able to find an actual title or umbrella to be under, I finally have found that. And I think that if we look back, even in your life, Jewel, if you look back on all of the different career paths that you have gone into, there are lots of things that you can take from each and every one of them and see the application in what you're doing right now.
Yes, but the world
you know
does
what
not
I mean?
Teach you that. The world does not
I know,
teach you that.
I know,
but that's
of course
where the emotional
right.
intelligence has to come in. And a lot mm-hmm. of things we never really understand until we have hindsight and we look back. When we're going mm-hmm. through tragedy, when we're going through illness, when we're going through loss, we don't see the bigger picture. All we see is our pain. And this is why the human spirit is very, very, very resilient. And it's called the grace of God. And when you experience resiliency and the grace of God after an addiction, after loss, after tragedy, if you look back and you see how far you've come, this is where the life lessons kick in. You have to go through it to get to it. You have to get through the fire, the storm. And we don't like going through it. We don't like being broke. We don't like being sick. Don't like being lonely. But if we're smart enough, if we're wired emotionally and spiritually and mentally, we will one day look back and say, oh, now I understand. Now, and unfortunately, it has to come after. It doesn't come before.
Exactly.
These are the kind of things that I try to teach people, you know, prepare them for or even help them to embrace after they have gone through. Can you embrace the fact that you have the cancer, that you, yes, you got divorced, yes, you lost the house, yes, your child is in jail, yes, he mm-hmm. left you, yes, she left you. Can you embrace it now and still move forward and find the pearl in it? Can you find that one little pearl in all of that mess? Can you find it? Can you find that gem, you know?
Yes.
You know, Dr. Professor, my name is Jewel Diamond because my father was a gemologist, and I his books, you know, taught me that diamonds just don't come out of the earth sparkling. They go through fire. They go through cutting. They go through polishing. And they look on the surface as a piece of rock. And many times we look at our lives and we say, it's just a rock. It's just a lump of coal. It's just nothing. And we're not willing to go through the perfecting process to get to
mm-hmm.
what's on the inside. And that's what education does. Education only pulls out what's already on the inside. Education
that's
is not
already
about putting
in the inside.
Into something.
That's
it's
it.
It's not about putting
that's
something
it.
Into a person. It's to inspire them so that what's already in them begins to come out.
That's right, Jewel. We have another caller now, and I know this person. It looks like a 209 area code. I think this is one of our board members. Hello? This is Professor Applewhite.
Hello, Dr. Applewhite.
Oh, hello, good morning. And this
hello.
Is Kim Owens, I bet.
Yes,
I hope
ma'am.
I'm not making a mistake here.
This is Kim Owens. Nice to be on your show today.
How are you? Oh, how are you? And we have one of the special people. I know you visited her website, Jewel Diamond Taylor. And
yes.
Let me give that website again to all our listeners out there. Do not... giveup.net. Did I do that right, Jewel?
Correct.
Right. And she's on today, and our topic is about illness and managing school and work with illness, disability, and death. But we're focused on illness, and we're talking about how emotional intelligence plays a big part in how we manage the illness of hopelessness, the loss of passion, and so many other things that deter us off the path of really being responsible enough to say, I don't want to be late for work. I don't want to leave early. I want to stay here and build my character. How about that one? Build my character. Now, I know you're a group home operator, Kim, and in the San Francisco, or tell the area that you have your group home.
The area is Patterson, and I have an adult care home for duly diagnosed women with co-occurring disorders.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one of the things, if I remember, you've contacted me on consultation. I know I'm one of your consultants, but one of the ongoing problems that are there are workers who do not understand time management. We were trying to get into time management a minute ago, and Jewel brought us back to the fact that you can't have that time management until you can master emotional intelligence.
That's right.
You know, that's a basic need, okay? And so that's what seems to be lacking. What do you think about that? And you can address Jewel Diamond Taylor and ask her a question, too. She's abundant in knowledge in this area.
Well, I actually wanted to listen to Jewel. I mean, you guys are so dynamic in your own profession yourself, so I'm always glad to hear from you all.
Yes.
But just in the short, brief moment that I did get on, because I'm in bad coverage, so if I hang up, I'm apologies. But
okay.
I love the topic today, because this is one of the things I go over with staff quite a bit about when you're dealing in a field that I'm in, when it's dealing with emotions and it's dealing with the mind, and it's also
mm-hmm.
dealing with psychology and the in-depth issues that occur in psychology. You get people that come to work for you, and they're actually not understanding exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The time is definitely of the essence. It also comes from your emotions and how you feel about time and what it means to you. And I
mm-hmm.
go over this a lot because in our industry, timing is everything. If you don't time meds, if you don't time, you know, a behavior, actually, you
mm-hmm.
know, thinking that one may occur because someone didn't get their meds,
mm-hmm.
you know, it can turn into a real serious scenario if you, the individual, is not aware of your own emotions and also aware of timing when you're working with different individuals than what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't hear the whole show, so I'm just trying to give a short, you know, synopsis of how it applies to what I'm doing.
Yes, yes, and I think that that's very valuable, and I'll let Jewel elaborate a little bit more on this. I just want to bring out also that many of the things that you're dealing with your employees as the technical, what do we call them? I'm sorry, the name has lost me. Behavior technicians.
Here in California, they have a term for them that's called direct support professionals, which I really because
mm-hmm.
we really get away from that term. We know healthcare is a billion-dollar industry, so
mm-hmm.
we want to make sure that when we talk about emotions, that we also treat people who work in mental health like they're people. Because a lot
mm-hmm.
of times when we get into care, us as individuals will forget that these people are people, and they also have
right.
emotions. They definitely need to hear from Jewel and Dr. Applewhite.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
I'll tell you something. We need to recognize that when we talk about teachers, too. And teachers have students, and timing is important for teachers and also that and students. But let's focus on your particular issue, because it's still a global issue, isn't it, Jewel? It's still a global issue when we talk about employees overall, whether they're teachers or direct support or behavior technicians or whatever. We're still talking about that basic premise.
Absolutely, and this conversation is reminding me why I even got started doing this work, because I
mm-hmm.
saw that there was a void in teaching, and you know, I've been doing this for 25 years, and 25 years ago, you didn't hear the phrase emotional intelligence or life
right.
skills, not even low self-esteem. When I went to college to be a psychologist, we talked about an inferiority complex. Now we're talking about low self-esteem. So back then, I realized that I wanted to be part of the solution in teaching people life skills. You know, children learn about math and geography and English, but people are not understanding respecting time, respecting other people, diversity, balancing your life and family and career, spending habits. These are all things that we teach after people come to us for help. Now,
and they're broken. And they're broken then.
Right. And so we're trying to put back broken pieces.
Right.
Sometimes the pieces are so broken you can't put people's lives back together. So you medicate them. You label them. You write them off. You put them away. I mean, if we learn about three things, health and wealth and God, those three things, if we learn more about how to navigate our way through life by taking better care of our body, I'm proclaiming right now I'll probably never have Alzheimer's or dementia because I know the things that take care of my body and I'm engaged in things that keep me active and keep me excited and keep me grateful and keep me connected to other people. When you are not doing things that make you happy, it affects every cell of your body.
Yeah.
And so these are things that are not being taught. You know, we wait till then we want to put them on medication. So I think when you are spiritually strong, when you're physically strong, when you're emotionally strong, whether you have money or not, you can deal with it. Whether you're in a whether you're married or not, you can deal with it because you're healthy. You're healthy, and I try to be very holistic in teaching people. You just can't just separate one part of our lives and just try to fix that one part. It's all connected.
Yeah.
Right. One of the things that a lot of employers are doing is making sure that they have posters and information distributed, a lot of the major companies, about health education. Some of them are even putting gyms inside of their large corporations so that people can get away and exercise. And so these are some of the things that they're doing to address this sick leave abuse that's going on.
People, they don't want to lose them. They've made an investment.
That's right.
And they're saying that if you invest in the commodity called people, they will produce, they will provide a profit, and you create a community. So many people, their job, that's their family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you belong to a family, your coworker is going to lose a mother. Your coworker is probably has an addicted person in their family. Your coworker probably has an elder in senior living. Your coworker probably is abusive to their spouse. Your coworker has a child in college. And so you may not need it, but the coworkers you're dealing with, if they're not getting help, it's going to affect the bottom line. So they're understanding the bottom line now. If they're going to protect their product and their commodity, they've got to invest in people. So there's been a slow learning curve with America. It's a slow learning curve, and it goes right back to the first thing you said was, we are working so much, we don't have time to breathe, to exhale, to spend time with family, because we're chasing the almighty dollar. We're chasing success. We're chasing things, and we're not happy with just an ordinary life, just a life with, you know, just sitting on the floor with your kids or your grandkids or just taking a nap or walking barefoot in the grass or just playing with your dog or just painting or writing poetry. We feel like there's got to be something more. There's got to be something wrong with me because I don't look like what I see on TV. I don't have what they have on TV. And so we're just chasing, and nobody's teaching us a balance because we're going crazy.
You know, you spoke about dollars. You spoke about family. And I know we have less than 10 minutes left, so I want to make sure that we get some. We've given a lot of tips, a lot of things for people to think about, and we hope that they tune in next week because we'll be continuing this conversation. But I just want to give out a statistic which might really, really make people think about why this is an overwhelming problem, especially with corporations today. Is that 72 cents of every dollar of costs are related to employee absence, and it stems from a loss of productivity. It's not hard costs, health care, or disability benefits. It's the sick leave thing and the sick leave abuse. And although we talked about illness, we're talking about the individual having illness and saying, I don't want to go to work today because I broke a nail, or or I have a cold or whatever, or I have to leave early because I have to get an eye exam that could have been scheduled for Saturday afternoon, but they just want to get away from the situation. What about the issue of children being ill or a family member being ill, and we take off time for that? Now that's a real heavy thing. I don't know if you're dealing with that, Kim, and with your employees, that they come in, well, my mother was sick and I had to do this, or my uncle was, I had to take my uncle to the doctor, and that's why I'm late.
Well, yes, Dr. Applewhite, I have, and I constantly do trainings on mind, body, and soul. Being an athlete and having had injuries and worked through those injuries, and the injuries made me a better person. It helped me to be able to talk to others about it and to always continue to remember it's mind, body, and soul first. If you don't have that going on, you're lost. And in my field of work, I've actually have my employees joining the gym. I've encouraged them to join the gym. I also have gym memberships for all of my clients, all my residents. I actually don't call them clients. I call them residents. They're residents because they're people first. They're clients second. So now I have all of them, even the ones who didn't want to join, they're following in with the other ones. Because what are we constantly talking about at Grace Adult Residential Care Home? We talk about mind, body, and soul. And that's my portion. I'll leave.
And Jewel, you were mentioning about a holistic approach, and I don't know if I believe was it Kulit? I don't know if he had something to say on the holistic approach, but let's hear Jewel and then Kulit if you have something to add into, you know, how you take care of or how you promote that idea, because you've been a social worker and worked with, as a caregiver. And so let's hear what Jewel has to say. I would like you to elaborate a little bit more on that holistic approach that you were talking about.
Well, yeah, when she said mind, body, and soul, that's the holistic. You can't separate. And, in my former life, that's what I was. I worked in human resources where I dealt with workers' compensation. I worked with hiring and firing. And I saw, you know, in hindsight, in 25 years as a public speaker, I've only missed two speaking engagements. Why?
Wow.
I've spoken when I was sick. I've spoken when I had problems at home because I was passionate and I had a sense of integrity that people were expecting me to do my job. Now, when I worked for other people, I didn't have that sense of integrity and passion. Anything could discourage me. So we go right back to my premise. If we could begin to empower people to discover and recover their passion, even if you still have to work for a job to put food on the table, work on your passion after your job, because not everybody has the luxury of making a living from their passion. But if you carve out time for yourself after taking care of family and domestic needs, do something that inspires you, because this is what's going to reduce resentment, retaliation, depression, absenteeism, arguments, cheating, stealing. All of those things are the outcome of a person who's not happy, a person who's not fulfilled. So I think in order to teach fulfillment, following your bliss and doing the things that God has purposed you to do, it takes time, and this is what I do as a coach. I coach people, and I help them to win the game of life, or at least if they're losing the game, begin to get the determination to get back in the game. So you have to find out what their passion is, and I got inspired by watching my son play football, and he is just one-dimensional. That's the only thing that makes him happy. And so I learned to respect that. Listen, you know what? That's how I am about speaking and teaching and writing and counseling. I guess I'm one-dimensional too, and I guess people think I'm crazy. But you begin to honor other people's choices when you're honoring your own.
Very good point.
It's easy to honor other people's choices when you are taking good care of yourself. Your health, your wealth, your relationships, your spirituality. When you begin to, when your no means no, and your yes means yes, and you're not people pleasing, all the things that I teach, when you begin to do those things, it gets become so much easier to deal with the adversities of life. I call it being enrolled in the university of adversity. And some people are failing.
And we need to extend that out. Once we've accomplished that or on the path of that, then we need to extend that out to the people that we are caring for in our lives so that they catch on to that concept, so they're not pulling us behind saying, why are you going to work? I'm sick. Why don't you stay home with me?
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? You know, especially, you know, you're talking about, I have a lady now, her son is 17 going on 18 years old, and when she was first telling me about, you know, how many days she's missed of work, because of her son, I'm thinking her son is a small child, you know, but he's 17 plus years old and you're still staying home with him, you know, when he has a cold. What is that teaching him? What is that saying to him? And so, you know, empowering the people that we are living with, under the same roof with, or those that we share our energy with, needs to be something that we look at also to avoid us having this issue of absenteeism and not being able to manage school and work with the illness factors that go on in our life. And mm-hmm. and the last point I want to make, we've got a little less than 3 minutes left here, and I want to get some last comments in, is that sometimes it really is serious. And, Jewel, you kind of like alluded to that when you said, you know, it's only been twice in 25 years, but twice is twice. And, you know, and I don't know if I can go back and in the last 25 years, I probably run the same kind of record. But the bottom line is that there are times when I could not get to a place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we do acknowledge that. All of our listeners have to understand, we're not saying that there's never a time you can't be there. But Maria is one of our students at White Apple Institute, and Maria, you know that there are serious times when you really can't get to a place, get to work or school, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know,
being emotionally intelligent would say that she would not feel guilty, that she would know that she's doing her best, and where others that are not emotionally healthy would say, oh, I'm a failure, I feel guilty, I can't go, and you're honoring your limitations. We all have them.
That's right.
And so you're absolutely right. There are some scenarios where we just can't go any further. And if I'm emotionally intelligent, I won't allow other people to make me feel guilty. I won't beat up myself. I won't feel like a failure, a loser. So that inner chatter is very, very key, and that's the piece that I...
There you go. Those voices again.
Like that. Voice inner chatter.
The adversary. The adversary, all the voices that we can hear. Let's turn around those voices. Let's end with one beautiful tip from Jewel Diamond Taylor and Dr. Applewhite, Professor Applewhite here, and our group administrator, Ms. Kim Owens, and all of our other guests that have joined us this morning. We offer you this. Know what balance is. Get that emotional intelligence going. And I thank you so much. I look forward to you joining us next Saturday on the Student to Teacher Show. And here's Nazim Rashid's music, available on Amazon. Thank you so much.